afternoon football news. Welcome to the Golden Black Radio pregame show as we get you set for Saturday's kickoff. Now here's your host, Kyle Chardas.
After consecutive road wins, the Boilermakers return home looking to keep the winning streak alive and stake a claim again as a favorite in the Big Ten West. It's Purdue hosting Nebraska in Ross-Ade Stadium under the lights at 7:30 on Saturday night. Kyle Chardas here with Tom Dienhart. We'll bring in Brian Newbert and Alan Karpik here in a few minutes for the Gold and Black Radio pregame show. The Boilermakers back at home finally. It seems like it's been a month. It hasn't quite been that long, Tom. But Purdue back after back-to-back road upsets against Minnesota and Maryland. Purdue will be a favorite. It seems like that has been a rarity so far this season, though it probably will be more common here in the second half of the year. Taking on a Nebraska team that has won a couple of games in a row under interim head coach Mickey Joseph, though the two victories are against Indiana and Rutgers, probably the two worst teams in the Big Ten East. Boilermakers will be a couple of touchdown favorites, though this does to me feel like sort of a sneaky dangerous game because the Cornhuskers are probably improved a little bit and will come into Ross-Ade with just a bit of confidence.
Yeah, they got nothing to lose too, Kyle, so that's always a nice mindset to play with. They're the underdog, like you said, a 14-point underdog. They're supposed to lose. They're supposed to be circling the drain, so this is house money, if you will, for the Huskers. The wins by Nebraska, while you never want to discredit a win in the Big Ten, they are less than impressive, knocking off Indiana and Rutgers by the hair of their teeth last week out there in New Brunswick. This is for Purdue. It's nice to get back home, isn't it, Kyle? Like you said, three of the previous four were on the road. Purdue will go back on the road next week, so they will have played four or six games on the road during this stretch. But, boy, the stakes keep getting higher, don't they? Three-way tie atop the Big Ten with Purdue, Nebraska, and Illinois. And let's be honest, right, Kyle? This is a game Purdue has to win if it has any illusions or delusions about winning the Big Ten West. You got to take care of business against the Cornhuskers without a doubt. And we'll see if they can do it. I'm like you, Kyle. I'm a little leery. I think this could be closer than people think.
Yeah, it feels like every game is going to be must win. This one is now, so maybe it's muster win. I don't know. But it does sort of have that sense, I think. Maybe a little bit more must win than next week because you do feel like maybe you could go on the road to a Wisconsin where you're likely to be an underdog and lose that game and still have, you know, a good shot to be there at the end in the Big Ten West. Nebraska is an improved football team. I mean, clearly Joseph has brought some stability there that Scott Frost lacked. The defensive change, I think even you talking to some of Purdue's offensive players this week, they noted that just on film they can tell that the defense maybe for the Cornhuskers is a little bit more sure, a little bit more confident in what it's doing, things of that nature. So Purdue is going to face what seems like a better Nebraska team than what it was under Scott Frost.
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt about it. I think especially on the defensive side of the ball. Remember, Mickey Joseph fired the defensive coordinator after that debacle against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Bill Bush is now running the defense. Watching Nebraska film and talking to people who cover the team, Kyle, that I guess they've just simplified things on that side of the ball. They're not trying to have the perfect alignment, the perfect call each time. They've just really kind of boiled things down, played more of a basic defense. I think that simplification seems like it's helped that defense. At least not be quite as porous as it had been. I still think Kyle, it's very vulnerable, obviously, especially in the back end. But again, credit to Nebraska, because I thought this thing was over for them, that they'd be lucky to win another game. And here they are atop the Big Ten in mid-October. So credit again to Mickey Joseph. Now, offensively, Kyle, there are some weapons, buddy. They have a big three in their quarterback, Casey Thompson. He's from Texas. Of course, Anthony Grant, the running back, who's number four in the Big Ten in rushing. And then Trey Palmer, their wide receiver from LSU, he's their big play guy. So they can gash you with some plays and some playmakers. So that defense for Purdue is going to have to be on its toes.
Big storyline for the Boilermakers yet again is the injury situation. It's as if Purdue has to keep you know, a half dozen starters on the DL per game. It just doesn't always have to be the same six. But unfortunately for Purdue, it will be down another running back. Dylan Downing will join King Doru on the sideline, though Doru might have a chance to dress and perhaps play. I would think that that would be pretty doubtful. Then the offensive line situation, Daniel Johnson is now out. Purdue has to shuffle the offensive line last week, which I think had some mixed results as well. Man, this doesn't seem like a situation that's going to resolve itself, the injury situation as a whole, anytime soon.
No, the line is the big worry in my book, Kyle. There, Cam Craig's not coming back. Daniel Johnson's not coming back. So you're down to six linemen you feel really comfortable playing. So that depth is now razor thin. And with six games to go, too, can these six guys stay healthy over the last six games? So fingers are crossed, I'm sure, over the Kosich Football Performance Complex. And you talked about the running back situation. You know, King Doru sounds like he will dress. Jeff Rom said a game time decision. I'm like you, I doubt if he plays. Of course, Dylan Downing hurt a foot at Maryland. He's out probably for an extended stretch, Kyle. So Devin Mockaby, I expect him to start. Of course, Kobe Lewis will get some turns. And Tyrone Tracy, to me, Kyle, this is going to be the fun thing for Saturday night. Tyrone Tracy is supposedly going to be a running back. We'll see how much he does play running back, how many carries he gets, because that's a position I thought he should probably always be at to begin with. So that will be interesting to watch. And then, you know, as far as the defensive injuries go, they're in pretty good shape over there. Of course, the Chris Jefferson news, you know, he's out to take care of his mental health for who knows how long, maybe a game, maybe two games, maybe the rest of the season. We're not sure. Of course, he only played 10 snaps last week. So Sanusi Kane will play a big role in Jefferson's absence on Saturday night. But otherwise, and I guess the only other key one is OC Brothers, Kyle. He's got a knee issue. He's going to be out for a second game in a row. He may not be back to the November 5th game against Iowa at home.
Yeah. Certainly a lot of guys to monitor who's in and who's out. And, you know, we'll see if there are any updates on any of that in the hours before the kickoff at 7:30 on Saturday. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Tom's conversation with Sean Callahan, that's coming up in just a moment. We'll check in with Brian and Al as well. You're listening to the Golden Black Radio pregame show.
This is Storm Team 18 meteorologist Lisa Montgomery. We've got sunny but cool conditions for the Purdue game against Nebraska. A warm jacket or even layer up, that would be a good idea for the day. Mostly sunny for the tailgaters with highs in the mid to the upper 50s. Kickoff at 7:30. Look for partly cloudy skies with a temp around 52 degrees. Post game, expect chilly temps around 45 degrees. So it will be chilly for the day and the night. But let's root on the Boilermakers. Go Boilermakers! This is Storm Team 18 meteorologist Lisa Montgomery.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
It's time to break it down as we go in-depth about Purdue's opponent.
Hey, super psyched to have one of my best buddies in the biz join me now, Sean Callahan, a longtime legendary Nebraska insider who covers the Huskers on multiple platforms, radio, TV, social, you name it. Sean's got it covered on some platform if it has to do with Nebraska athletics. Sean, good to hear from you, buddy. Nebraska's rolling into West Lafayette, primetime game, Saturday night. Let's get deep into this analysis. First off, what can Purdue fans expect from that Nebraska offense?
You know, it's been up and down. Honestly, Tom, they haven't clicked very well at times, but then when they do get hot, they get hot. They've got some playmakers, Trey Palmer, Casey Thompson at quarterback, and then Anthony Grant, that trifecta, and then they're tied in. Travis Volkolek's probably an NFL tight end. They've got a really good group right there, but their offensive line has been a real problem. The tackle play has not held up. They've had some injuries. They've had some other things happen. So that has been a real problem. I mean, Indiana and Rutgers last week have just pressured the heck out of Casey Thompson. In fact, last week, Thompson had 38 dropbacks, 26 of his 38 were pressured, and only 11 dropbacks total did Rutgers bring more than four rushers.
Interesting. And then now the Nebraska defense, Sean, I know there have been some problems on that side of the ball. They've already fired one of their coordinators. Kind of give Purdue fans a sense of maybe what they can expect from that Nebraska defense Saturday night.
Yeah, they've played a lot better. They've just cleaned things up. They're lining up. I think the problem before with Eric Chenander was they were almost trying to call the perfect call every time. And what it was doing was putting them in a position where they weren't ready to be lined up for the snap. And so you saw a lot of alignment and gap issues that led to big plays because the defense just wasn't set. So Bill Bush came over and, you know, he was a safeties coach for the national championship LSU team. He was the guy that recruited Joe Burrow and convinced Ed Orgeron to bring Joe Burrow to Baton Rouge on the national championship run there when they won the title in 19. So very, very good coach. And Bill Bush has kind of cleaned things up. They've held the opponent scoreless in the second half now, two straight weeks. The tackling's been better. The pass rush has been better. Even at Rutgers, we saw them force three interceptions in the second half, which ultimately led to the firing of Sean Gleason, Greg Schiano's offensive coordinator, on Sunday after the loss to Nebraska.
All right, Sean, how do you see this game unfolding in Ross-Ade Stadium? I think the Boilermakers are coming in about 11.5 point favorites. They've won three in a row. I know Nebraska's won two in a row, so it's two teams tied atop the Big Ten West with Illinois. Again, how do you see this unfolding before our eyes on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for Nebraska. They're very fortunate to beat Rutgers. And, you know, both their wins were wins, Indiana-Rutgers, but neither was like a complete performance. I just think at home, at night, and, you know, Purdue can smell the West right now. And so can Nebraska. I mean, they're 2-1, but I think Purdue – with that head-to-head win now over Maryland and Minnesota, they've put themselves in a great position to win the West. Illinois and Purdue, you know, if you were to kind of rank favorites, they might be the two favorites right now based on last weekend's results. I think Wisconsin's still a sleeper, but I think the Boilermakers probably win by a touchdown. I'll say Purdue wins 34-27.
Yeah, Sean, I think last time the Huskers were here in 2020, a COVID game, and the Huskers left Ross-Ade Stadium with a W that night. So I know Purdue's dialed in, and they're leery of Nebraska. They know that they've been playing well, and it should be a fun matchup, Sean. I look forward to seeing you. And again, really appreciate you coming by here and giving us some Nebraska knowledge to get us ready.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Tom. It should be a great atmosphere. Big game, big night in West Lafayette.
Sellout crowd. Take care, Sean.
All right, Tom. Thank you.
At Purdue Federal Credit Union, it's about a relationship. A relationship that goes where you go, wherever you are in life. A relationship that's committed to free financial wellness resources, lower fees, and innovative digital banking solutions. Because we believe in people helping people. Let's build your financial future together. Purdue Federal Credit Union, your trusted financial partner for life. Federally insured by NCUA.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chop salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World headquarters north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
Let's bring in Brian Neuber to get his perspective on the Boilermakers and the Cornhuskers. Purdue is halfway through its season with a 4-2 record, having won three consecutive games. I think it's a little bit interesting, Brian, that Purdue was an underdog in four of the six games in the first half of the season. I think it will be an overdog. It will be the favorite probably in at least four games in the second half of the season. The two games that are probably questionable, I think, are at Wisconsin and at Illinois. We'll see where the lines fall when we get to those games. Of course, a lot can change in the second half of year two. But if you look at it that way, the anticipation is Purdue will go from being an underdog in a lot of these games to a favorite in a lot of these games. It'll be interesting to see how Purdue deals with that a little bit, because even looking back to last year, you know, I don't think that the expectations going into the second half of last year were all that high on Purdue. It got to play the underdog role quite often and did very well in it, has done very well in it at the beginning of this year. We'll see how Purdue adjusts to being a favorite and to potentially being one of the favorites in the Big Ten West.
Yeah, that'd be the first theoretical question I'd ask is, would you rather be the favorite or would you rather be the underdog? Given the history of Purdue here under Jeff Brohm, is they've played pretty well as an underdog. But you're right about those, you know, I still think Wisconsin's Wisconsin, no matter the fact that they haven't had a great year and they have a new coach now. I'm interested to see how they play coming off that Northwestern game, whether that was them, you know, being energized by Jim Leonard or whether that was just an indictment of how far Northwestern's fallen. I don't know, but I think that's probably a game where you're an underdog. I think Illinois, we'll see if they turn into a pumpkin here in the next couple of weeks. We'll see if people figure them out during the back half of the season. We'll see where they are when Purdue has to play them. But those are the two games, you're right. But this does kind of change for Purdue a little bit in terms of, like, they shouldn't approach things this way. But we all know it's human nature for this sort of thing to happen is, you know, they can't take anything for granted just because they've won a couple of Big Ten games here. And, you know, you're going to have a decent number of home games starting this weekend against Nebraska. You can't take anything for granted because you're at home, obviously.
Yeah.
I think what's encouraging about it from Purdue's perspective is you've gotten to 4-2 and you've gotten to, you know, win these two games since the resumption of Big Ten play without the best of Aiden O'Connell either. I mean, even before he got hurt, I don't know if he was having the sort of season that, you know, Purdue needed him to have a big time year. I think that's, you know, something that's out there too as something that could really matter in the second half of the season. If he suddenly returns to form, you know, all of a sudden, not only are you 4-2, but you have a little bit of upside remaining too. Now the injuries are really piling up,
yeah,
too. And I don't know if Purdue is dealing with more than most college football teams. It sure seems like they do, but I have no data about that. But the injuries are piling up. You know, I think people are going to start to figure out Charlie Jones a little bit. I think you saw Maryland do a good job taking him away. That's a big difference too, moving forward. But I think, you know, there's still a little bit of upside here too for Purdue.
Yeah. You've written about this a little bit, or at least tweeted about it. I think that, you know, Purdue and its offense has some room for some more growth. Aiden O'Connell does, you know, Charlie Jones, or at least finding a second option out there. Purdue has only averaged, I think, the number now is it's ticking up a little bit, 12 points per game in the first half of the FBS games this season. I think Purdue had 17 in the first half against Maryland, so it brought that average up a little bit. But it does seem like, you know, if Purdue is going to reach its potential, it's going to have to play a little bit better offensively, especially late in the second quarter into early in the third quarter, where Purdue just – it really hasn't done a whole lot all season. And those are generally, when you're a good team, generally, and I don't know what the stats are behind this. I would imagine that there's some stats to back it up. You play really well in the last, you know, 3-4 minutes of a first half and sort of leading into that second half. Purdue just really hasn't done that.
Yeah. Purdue hasn't finished halves great. You know, they haven't started second halves great. I think there's some upside there too, but I also think, you know, I don't want to sound like trick play guy, throw deep guy, you know, but like, I still feel like they could do a better job, you know, stealing the occasional touchdown. You know, that was one of the hallmarks of Jeff Brohm's, you know, tenure at Purdue prior to this season is that, you know, they could do anything at any time, you know, for a quick touchdown here and there. And I just think if you can, I know saying if you could just do that once a game, that's not an insignificant ask I'm making. But, you know, I think if you could do it a couple of times here the rest of the season, I think your offensive upside kind of lies there. But also, I think if you show a little bit more of that stuff, maybe some of your base offense works a little bit better too. I mean, Purdue's going to have the, you know, don't be fooled by the Minnesota game. I still don't think Purdue is going to, you know, it's going to be easy sledding here, running the football for Purdue, especially with injuries mounting and all that stuff. And I just think anything you can do to create confusion among your opponents from a defensive perspective, I think, you know, can really help you be more effective with your bread and butter stuff too.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
That's Brian Newbert with his perspective on the game on Saturday. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more. This is Golden Black Radio. When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner. AcrePro Midwest Farm Group is your local farmland specialist. With decades of experience in Indiana agriculture, no one knows the market better. Whether you're doing a 1031 exchange or simply buying and selling farmland, your local AcrePro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. Visit acrepro.com or call 765-587-3185 to talk to your local land expert today. Again, 765-587-3185.
What else is going on around the league? Let's take a look. It's the Big Ten Roundup.
Let's bring in Alan Karpik and talk some Big Ten football. The four games outside the one in West Lafayette that we'll be talking about. There's only five games on the schedule in the Big Ten this week. So let's jump right into it, Al. A couple of noon kickoffs, big ones in the Big Ten East and the Big Ten West. Let's start out east. Number 10, Penn State, taking on number 5, Michigan and Ann Arbor. Both of these teams are undefeated, the combined 11-0. Michigan is a touchdown favorite. This could be an interesting game. You know, the Wolverines, they played pretty well in the second half against Indiana last week. Let the Hoosiers keep the game tied in the first half. Maybe they were sleepwalking a little bit against Indiana, but man, this is a big one for both these squads.
Yeah, no doubt. It will set the direction. Everybody, at least myself, I should say, presume it was just going to be Ohio State and Michigan in the last game of the year, as it used to be back in the day. But Penn State has a lot to say about it. I go back to the Purdue-Penn State game. I know that was week one. You're not wildly impressed with the Nittany Lions and what it does offensively, but they're pretty good defensively. They run the football, and Michigan has been kind of struggling at times. J.J. McCarthy looks the part, acts the part at times, but offensively they've been just okay. Defensively, they're good enough to play with anybody. So, yeah, this may be a under 3 touchdown type game, and it will be a typical October Big Ten slugfest, I would think, in Ann Arbor, but I still like Michigan to get out of this one alive.
All right, let's take a look at the game in the West between Minnesota and number 24, Illinois. The Gophers are actually a 6.5-point favorite in this one. Who would have guessed? The Illini ranked. That was an ugly game they played last week, but they won it against Iowa. Illinois at home here in a game that will matter in the Big Ten West. Who would have thought that in the middle of October?
Yeah, who would have thought? And that 6.5-point line is interesting to me just because of, you know, Illinois hasn't given up a touchdown basically defensively. I know they haven't played great competition or great offenses, I should say. Yeah. But dating back to the bad call against Indiana. But my point is that, it's interesting that Minnesota 6.5-point favorites. Obviously, Minnesota has Mo coming back, and that's going to be a big difference. And maybe it gives them a chance to run the football a little bit better. I think that will be an interesting game. And I'm not sure if you're a Purdue fan who you cheer for in this one. I really don't know, because the way the schedules play out, if you want to assume Purdue's going to lose another game, and that's an assumption, and still win the Big Ten West, The chips are going to have to fall very neatly for Purdue for it to happen. But that kind of ties into this game. And I'm not sure who you want to have win. I think maybe Purdue just needs to take care of its own business and not worry about it.
Yeah, I think that you want Illinois to win because you play Illinois. Yeah. And Minnesota's schedule is workable. I mean, they
have to play Penn State, though. That's the one thing.
Yeah. So that maybe is the one game. They still play Wisconsin.
But I don't think Minnesota loses again if they can beat Penn State. They've only got one more loss in the tank. You're right. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you're probably right on that you cheer for Illinois. I'm still not buying all of Illinois just yet. And again, Tommy DeVito, too, the quarterback, if he's not healthy, that offense really labored last week against a great defense at Iowa. So maybe that's hard to tell.
Maryland and Indiana playing in Bloomington at 3:30 on Saturday. The Hoosiers have lost three consecutive games. Indiana sort of been exposed here a little bit. That offensive line is just really bad, which, I mean, they have a veteran offensive line that's not good, which is a bad combination.
Bad problem.
It's a bad combination to be, especially when you don't have any young guys sort of waiting in the wings. But if IU is to get to six wins, which I think is a real long shot, this one is sort of must win for Indiana. This one and next week. I mean, you got to be Maryland Rutgers if you're Indiana to have a chance.
Any hope. They absolutely have to, and they probably have to beat Purdue, you know, or something like that down the stretch, too, to get there, you would think. This one, Maryland is funny because I don't know if last week was such a letdown now that they're off of a loss and I think game that they thought maybe they would get. Who knows on the road? I this one could be sneaky if Indiana, even though I'm not wild about where the Hoosiers are as a football team as well, but I think this one's going to be it. Maryland can score, and Purdue did an excellent job really for the most part last week, except for this at the end of the halves in holding Maryland back. But I think, and I don't know, that Maryland will have enough to get out of Bloomington alive, but it should be an interesting game.
4:00, Wisconsin at Michigan State. That's exciting. I mean, two teams that just sort of feel like they're going nowhere. Now, maybe the Badgers are better than the record. I don't know. They're 3-3, 1-2. Michigan State is just not great. This will be an interesting game. I think, you know, if the Badgers come out and just sort of throw all over the place, you know, Graham Mertz looks good one week and bad the next, sort of crazy. But I don't know. I mean, Michigan State is not very good, and Wisconsin has flashes where it's okay.
I will tell you about Wisconsin, what I feel about Wisconsin on October 22nd at about 7:07 p.m., okay? That is when I'll tell you, because I'm a show-me person in Purdue, and I'm not saying you're talking smack about the Badgers because they deserve some smack. And that whole interim coach thing is funny with Jim Leonard. You know, this is a team that if Wisconsin plays good defensively and can find a way to run the football, which they ought to be able to do, they'll win easily this week, and I think they'll give Purdue a tough game up there. But it's been so long for the situation that it just does not look like that you'll see Michigan State get much better before long.
The Spartans at one point this year, and it wasn't all that long ago, just a month ago, were ranked 11th in the country.
Yeah,
we're 11. Not good.
Is that why somebody they're calling for rankings not to start till the fifth or sixth week of the season, which I don't agree with. Rankings are fun. What the heck? You know, yeah. I mean, that's what we talk about. If we took rankings away, you and I wouldn't have anything to talk about. So right. We can talk about golf maybe, but no, not that. So there you go.
All right. That's the Big Ten roundup.
Let's go back in time with a historical look. Here's Alan Karpik.
All right, Al, let's hit the historical view of Purdue and Nebraska. This is a night game, 7:30 kickoff in Ross-Ade. Purdue hasn't really been all that great in night games in Ross-Ade, though we love them. The Boilermakers just historically 5-11.
If I counted right, you know, it's funny. They don't put that, I don't think, in the Purdue press notes because it's not a real positive note. But the Boilermakers 5-11 dating back to 1986, Purdue-Ohio State, the first night game. It has not been. Jeff Brohm has beaten Ohio State and FAU. So he's won three of those five games, I believe, in Ross A. But Purdue's played Nebraska at night under the Jeff Brohm era back in 2017, a 25-24 loss. It was at Riker Fife. Is that what we were talking about? That we were talking about that offline. Who was the quarterback that came in and drove the Nebraska down the field? But Purdue's going to have a great environment tomorrow night, a sold out. One would think Purdue will put its aces performance on, but history at least says that Purdue has struggled at home at night.
The road team in this series has been pretty good historically as well.
Yeah, it has been. Even going back to COVID year when Nebraska came in here and won, Purdue has won at Nebraska in what, 2018 and 2021, if I'm right. I'm getting my ears. COVID screwed me up so much I can't remember what year's what. But yes, the road teams have won and a fair number. And this series still goes back to the 1950s, actually, when Purdue did a home and home, I think, with Nebraska. I guess they actually only played them once, shut them out in the late 50s when that series started. So yeah, I still get used to Nebraska being in the Big Ten, but that's what happens when you're old, Kyle. You get used to the way things used to be.
There you go. I just like saying the name Riker Fife.
Oh yeah, Riker Fife. Riker Fife. That's
one of the backups. One of the many backups that have given Purdue problems historically.
Yeah, Purdue blew a second half lead in that game. I think had a 24-12 lead, lost it in the fourth quarter in a 25-24 loss.
Yeah,
but who's counting?
Yeah. All right, thank you, Al.
All right, thanks, Kyle.
That's a historical view of Purdue and Nebraska. We'll take a break. Be back with more on Golden Black Radio.
Designing and building since 1968, T&W has changed the way people think about construction. T&W's three-stage approach to designing and building is unmatched throughout the construction industry. Learn more about T&W's people, passion, and projects at twdesignbuild.com.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
Let's bring Tom back in and talk a little bit of matchups and give our predictions for Purdue and Nebraska. This Nebraska team has some issues in the back half. It feels to me like a game that Purdue could get right in its passing game. Not that Purdue has been wrong in its passing game, but we really, I think, haven't seen Aiden O'Connell and his receivers and Payne Durham and the offensive line all for a full game really been clicking at the same time. It feels like a game that Purdue could get closer to that against the Cornhuskers.
Yeah, maybe that Syracuse game. I know that's a game O'Connell got hurt, but well, he looked pretty good in that one, throwing for over 400 yards. But you're right. This will be another week removed from that injury, that rib injury we believe Aiden suffered at Syracuse. So he should be more like himself health-wise, driving the football, throwing downfield. So I expect him to be torqued up and ready to go Saturday night. You're right, that second day for Nebraska, at one point last week they were playing a seventh-year senior who was 25 years old and a true freshman. So they've got some issues in the back end that Purdue can maybe exploit. And Charlie Jones, Kyle, he needs to refine that September mojo he had. He's tapered off, three catches last week for 15 yards. He's not healthy, Kyle. That's the bottom line. Jeff Brohm said when he got to Purdue in the summer, he wasn't healthy. They knew they were going to have to deal with some things. And now he's got some more things. So just lower body things, I'm told. And he doesn't practice that much. They just want to get into game days. He didn't practice on Tuesday of this week. Was out there Wednesday and Thursday. So they got to try to get him torqued back up. Maybe can hit some deep passes. Let's see if Mershon Rice can pick up where he left off last week. It was good to see him reemerge. We all know Purdue needs that number two target. TJ Sheffield still an option. Maybe Deion Burks. You know, Elijah Kane is not going to play again, Kyle. Look for Abdur-Rahman Yassin, though, to see his first significant action of the year. And to give you another Brock Thompson update, obviously he's not going to play Saturday. Maybe we'll see him for that Iowa game November 5th. He's still a few weeks away, it sounds like.
Yeah. Maybe one of the best things Mickey Joseph did was get away with this, get rid of the silly black shirts thing, which has been like a ridiculous thing for a number of years now for Nebraska's defense. It's not very good either against the run, though the Cornhuskers have been better against the run here these last couple of weeks. You do have to count that by saying it was Indiana and Rutgers. But, you know, if you're Devin Maccabee and you're you know, likely to make your first start here on Saturday, you have to feel like, you know, if Purdue can soften up that defense, there might be some running lanes for him in this game where he can make some big plays.
Yeah, I think Nebraska's, I know they're last in the Big Ten in rush defense, giving up about 160 yards. And you're right, this has been an Aiden O'Connell-like rise for Devin Maccabee, right? I was thinking about that last night. Begins the year as probably the fourth-string running back to walk on. And now, at the midway point of the year, he's the starter. So here we go again with Cinderella walk-on at Purdue in the backfield, right? And you're exactly right. Maybe Maccabee can rip off some big runs, especially like you talked about, Kyle, if he's throwing the football. Put that Nebraska defense back on its heels. Maybe that creates some nice room for number 45 to have another big run like he did late against Minnesota. And maybe Kobe Lewis can get some confidence too. And like I mentioned earlier, Kyle, Tyrone Tracy, boy, it will be fun to see him get maybe 8 to 10 carries to see what he can do. And who knows? Crazy things happen during a football season. Injuries happen. People get opportunities. And fun storylines emerge. So, again, that, I'm really eager to see number three if he gets a chance to carry the ball much.
You know, Nebraska's offense does scare me a little bit. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, they've got name guys. I mean, their skill guys are pretty good. But also then you look and they get shut out in the first half last Friday night, I guess, week ago. Score only 14 points. In the second half, what is holding that offense back? What can Purdue do to maybe keep that in line again for at least another week?
Now, the offensive line for Nebraska struggles, Kyle, especially at the tackle spot. If you look at the Pro Football Focus grades, and not good, just not good. And I think that's been a big issue. And we all know football starts in the trenches. And again, the Nebraska O-line has been substandard. And that's been an issue for that offense, I think, from a consistency standpoint that's really held it back. So an opportunity for Purdue, you know, those defensive ends. We saw Cordae Sidner last week sort of take a next step with a couple sacks, some pressures. You know, Kydren Jenkins continues to play well. So maybe a chance for that D-line to get cranked up a little bit more to get in Casey Thompson's face, get some pressure, maybe force some turnovers. I think the last time these teams played, Kyle, last year in Lincoln, Purdue had, I think, 4 interceptions. Jalen Graham ran one back for a touchdown. So maybe Purdue can have another multiple turnover day because they're due, Kyle. The last two games, what? I think Purdue's had 6 turnovers. So that they're now negative on the turnover margin this year. Maybe in this game they can get back on the plus side for the year.
Yeah, I think Nebraska is also negative -2 maybe in turnover margin. I mean we'll get to predictions here in just a second, Tom, but this has to be probably never happen. It cannot be often where you have turned the ball over 6 times in 2 games as a road underdog in the Big Ten and won both those games. I mean, that is astounding.
And I think, Kyle, the opponents have only given up. I mean, Purdue's only given up 3 points off those turnovers. They gave up none last week. Purdue turned the ball over on 3 consecutive possessions in the third quarter last week, and Maryland scored 0 points. And I think Minnesota had 3 points off 3 turnovers by Purdue. So just astounding. I'm like you. It's just mystifying and one of those things that breaks all convention when you think about football and what turnovers can do to a team.
All right, predictions, Tom. Another 1 possession game here on Saturday night. Who you got?
Purdue is favored by 14. I think Purdue will win. I'm going with 40-28 where they barely don't cover. Maybe it's tighter than this, but boy, the more I look at Nebraska, the more I wonder how can they really stay close with Purdue, especially if O'Connell's healthy. So again, I think Purdue takes care of business in double digits, but doesn't cover the 14.
Yeah, I like that. I like it a little bit closer than that line. I'll take the Boilermakers 31-20, maybe a little bit lower scoring than what you predict there. But I think that Purdue takes care of business. They make this one a little bit easier on themselves in the fourth quarter than what we've seen for pretty much every game this year. And you know, maybe Purdue allows the Purdue fans there to breathe a little easier late in this contest. But I've got the Boilermakers
winning by 11 over Nebraska. Hey, as always, Tom, thank you.
Take care, buddy. Be good.
If you like the podcast, be sure to give us 5 stars. Give us a comment as well. That'll do it for our podcast for this week. Thanks to our sponsors. And for Tom Deanhart, Alan Karpik, and Brian Dubert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.